Good evening, angels. Please welcome to the stage, Kill James Bond!
The fits, sex pervert, your mum on a night out. She's here to have a nice time.
I should have heated up this chair.
Good evening and welcome to another live episode of Kill James Bond. I am November Kelly. I am joined as always by my friends Abigail Thorne and Devon.
Hey!
And I'm Devon. Hi.
I think we can all see that you are, yes.
Thank you.
And to celebrate International Women's Day, we are watching all three Charlie's Angels movies because international women are some of the best women that there are.
That's right.
This movie, the second, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, is not one of the best movies ever made.
No.
3 years it took them to make this, 3 years. And it's post 9/11, because the first one was 2000, this is 2003. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know how the Charlie's Angels universe deals with 9/11, The answer is, didn't happen.
It goes for the funniest possible thing, which is, what 9/11?
It goes for the even funnier option, which is that the World Trade Center never existed.
This is the thing, right? Once the Charlie's Angels won the Vietnam War, that set America into the timeline where 9/11 didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. The 50-foot tall Cameron Diaz just like swatted the plane out of the air.
It's like, oh my God. I feel amazing for our country. And this is incredible content. But so this movie begins with the cultural insensitivity scale, and against a group of people you would not guess.
I mean, my first guess when I looked at the screen was, are these people meant to be pirates? And then it flashes up Northern Mongolia, because genuinely I thought I was looking at like Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, this is some Tortuga ass dudes.
Yeah, it's like a bar in Northern Mongolia. Mm-hmm. And you know, the vibe is sort of the Marion's Bar in Indiana Jones, right? It's like, it's rough, it's ready, there's guys, they're tough, they're fighting.
Yeah.
And by the second movie, at long last, they understand what they have with Lucy Liu, because she unfolds herself from a box and says,
"Daddy's home."
God, if only.
Mm-hmm. I think we were planning to come out on the stage just unfolding from a box, but it wasn't time.
Yeah. First we had the dashiki problem, then we had the box problem. You're going to hate the thing with night three.
We're just going to hide behind the desk as you're all coming in and then to go, "Whoa, hey!" We're not doing that.
Yeah.
So much effort.
But it's a motley crew. So motley, in fact, that Drew Barrymore is there, looking very beautiful, but wearing a sort of a Taiwanese, like Republic of China cap, because Asia? Question mark? I don't know how that would go over in Inner Mongolia.
It's not quite as incongruous as Cameron Diaz's outfit, though, is it?
No, yeah. Because Cameron Diaz enters the bar in, forgive me, full Abigail Thorne mode.
She does.
Yeah, to be fair, I do love those shoes, and I think I have something very similar. Mm-hmm. She's dressed in a kind of like fuzzy white schoolgirl outfit.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, can you explain yourself?
Turn the spotlight on that person.
Thank you for joining us, Cameron Diaz.
Cameron AGP has. That joke's going to land 2 out of 3 nights. But yeah, so she enters the bar in the same way as, you know, a woman entering a sort of leather dyke bar going, "And where are all the men these motorcycles belong to?" She's like, "Hey, it's cool being in a Mongolia."
She's doing a German accent.
Yes. Is...
Mongolians love that shit, I assume.
Yeah, not sure. And then they have a mechanical bull?
Yeah, Mongolians love that shit, I assume.
In the bar? And she's the distraction, we surmise. Rides this mechanical bull in a very short skirt.
She's going,
I will give him a small amount of credit. It is a mechanical yak. And I do think that's quite funny.
Yeah. Okay, that's funny.
Kind of funny.
Downstairs, Robert Patrick, guy we love to see, mm-hmm. Terminator 2, is about to be beheaded by Mongolian ISIS.
Yes. Hmm. I'd like to note the extras in this scene. It comes up on the side. If you're watching this on Amazon, they are credited as deranged Mongol and demented Mongol.
Hey, Mom,
you can't
I got a
say
part
that,
in a
my
big
brother.
Movie.
Ghost of Tsushima ass.
What's the
health
part? That's
bar
so
on deranged Mongol is massive.
It's Mongol of a type, kind of Mongol. It's not a big deal, but it's like,
how do they differentiate in their performances between deranged and demented? Go back and watching these guys. Like,
what's my super objective? Enemies. Cut this guy's head off in a deranged way versus in a demented way. You know, little nuances. It's very like method. But so Lucy Liu rescues Robert Patrick, and he goes, "Where are your men?" She goes,
"How many men do you
have?" "I've got two girlfriends in the bar."
She just like me for real. And a fight breaks out inevitably. And I will say this for McGee, the director of the first two Charlie's Angels movies. He might be the only person who gets worse at directing with practice. I don't know if they lost the fight choreographer from the first one or what, but I can't see. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that'll get worse as well.
Also, there's a joke in there about Drew Barrymore holding down a trapdoor because she's fat, except she's not. Like,
no,
she's leaning on the demented Mongol.
Okay, fine.
A guy walks out who I cannot stress enough is straight up like a medieval friar, like a full on like.
But so yeah, the reason the fight breaks out, by the way, is they get out of from under the trapdoor and the bar's security eagle. Mongolians love this shit, I assume. Detects them, right? It literally is like an eagle does the full head pivot. It's like. And
there is quite a funny moment where everyone in the bar turns around to watch them escaping, and Cameron Diaz tries to keep the distraction going. She's still riding the woman, like, woo, look at me. And that kind of gives it up. It's funny.
Yeah. Also, I should say, Drew Barrymore cut a shot of herself barking like a dog with the actual dog noise. The dog noise is into this movie. And between that and the two girlfriends joke, this movie is transfeminine cinema.
And another moment which happens at the end, which we'll get to.
Oh, there are a few trans moments. If there's one thing you can rely on me for in watching a film, is to find the trans moments, and there are a few. But they have to fight a mini boss. At last, the series delivers us a Mongo.
Mongo the Mongolian. Well, see, now can we call him that?
No, because now it sounds like a racial slur.
Even though it's actually, a Blazing Saddles reference.
Yeah,
to Mongo Santa Maria, I think is what the... I don't feel comfortable saying that even slightly. Can we get that off the recording, actually, if anything?
Strike that from the record. None of you remember having said that.
Very quickly, these Mongolian Vikings become the Chinese army.
True. That's where part of Mongolia is.
Rapidly, they just turn into the Chinese army.
I hate when this happens to me. Also, but so the guy, the mini boss, right? He comes out. He's got the Ushanka, the ear flaps hat with the flaps undone to show you he's crazy, and he's got
demented, deranged.
Yeah. And he's got like a minigun, right? And the effect is like Mongolian heavy weapons guy, right? From Mongolian Team Fortress. I played the shit out of Mongolian Team Fortress. I couldn't afford the real one. It's an illegal, unlicensed Mongolian version.
I don't know enough about Mongolia to do these jokes, and neither do any of these people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's fine. Just lean in. What are Mongolians like? Security eagles, probably. Yeah.
Being Chinese, being Vikings, and being barbarians.
Being pirates,
it's
also,
fine.
Yeah.
I just didn't expect it to be Chinese.
Walking into the Mongolian pub and being like, "Oh, it's fine. I just didn't think it'd be Chinese."
Or pirates.
Literally, yeah.
Impenetrable.
So rather than have a fight, they decide to simply jump out of the windows.
Yeah.
They get in verse Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they're all and he just pulls out a gun. They go, "Oh shit, oh fuck, cheese it."
They have a chase on the dam from GoldenEye, and I'm forced to concede at this point, I'm having more fun than I did at any point in the last movie. I'm along for the ride on this one. Like, I have Stockholm syndrome, you know? I'm fully, you know, I'm locked in.
My notes here say LMFAO because the truck that they are on is carrying a helicopter.
Yeah.
And they fall over the side of the dam. And then they do the GoldenEye thing of, like, falling after the plane, getting into the plane and making it take off, except it's a helicopter. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that you can do that.
You can jumpstart a helicopter, I think, when it's in midair.
No.
How does this CG look of them, by the way? Incredible. Early 2000s CG. Oh my God.
PS nil is the level of, like, PlayStation number.
We shouldn't have ever gotten better than this.
Yeah. But so now we get the credits. And if you remember the first one, how we introduced them all in, like, sort of fun montages, we reintroduced them again for the second time. With the exact, well, with different montages, same program. And this would be fun, but for the fact that, and I can't believe this is a sentence I'm going to have to say at work, at my job, they make Cameron Diaz graphically on screen double fist a cow's pussy.
Yes.
Yeah, there is she exactly does. 10 minutes
while she is doing the sexy pose of, like, arching her back and, like, throwing her ass out.
There is genuinely 10 minutes and 45 seconds into this movie an actual footage of a cattle birthing.
Yeah.
And she she does it full force.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They can't fake that.
They also,
one shot of that, I hope.
they also do a call. She actually trained for 9 months.
She pushes back in between shots.
Sorry,
they've
can
got
we
a
go
guy
again?
To just
and
shove
the,
it
the
in.
The baby cow's like, God damn. It's this or veal, I guess.
But they do another shot, which is a callback
craft
to the
services that day on set was amazing.
if we remember in Charlie's Angels 1,
I do a little cross dressing.
Where the two of them did that.
Yes.
We get a little shot of the two of them who are cross dressing as men at urinals high fiving each other. So this movie is for the whole trans community.
Yeah.
It's sick. It's
all
actually
of
so
it,
good.
You know? It's for the ladies, it's for the gentlemen, it's for none of the above. Which
you gotta think of a better way to say that. We've been working together for quite some time.
It's for the ladies, the gentlemen,
Devon.
And Devon. Yeah. It's also for Devon. Devon, do you feel included by this movie?
No, not really. No.
I mean, 66% is not bad. But so now we get an opening scene. And the thing is, Drew Barrymore executive produced both of these. These were her passion projects. She loves Charlie's Angels. And so the cameo list for this is anyone who owes Drew Barrymore a favor. And Bruce Willis owed Drew Barrymore a favor.
This is quite nice. He did this, I believe, in lieu of payment. He asked that they do a little, like, spot for adoption, you know, just be like, do a little TV spot being like, hey, consider adopting.
Sure.
And it's quite nice that he did that instead of getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been a pretty big favor because what she asked for him in return is to get the Jordan Peterson haircut.
Yeah.
It's a very bad wig. It is
alarmingly Peterson. He is some kind of fed. He works for the Department of Justice or something. And he has a special ring. And as he gets onto his plane, he is attacked by ninjas. The ninjas do not recur.
There is quite a fun bit where he gets on the plane and he sits down and his agent is like, right, we're taking off in a minute, sir. And he goes outside. And then, like, Bruce Willis is, like, going through his suitcase. And he hears a noise. And then he pokes his head out the door of the jet and, like, everyone in the hangar is dead. And I'm like, ooh, that's quite creepy. How did you do that? It's not explained.
No, it's pretty, like, stuff. I like it. I like that it's Bruce Willis and you see him, like, beginning to do Bruce Willis shit and you're like, oh, okay, Bruce Willis is in this. And then he gets iced. Just fuck it. Straight
just,
up
like,
taken
grab
out.
A gun and then shoot him in the head.
So good, yeah.
So now we have to reintroduce Charlie's Angels for a third time and check in on what they're all doing. And what they're all doing is Cameron Diaz is moving in with her boyfriend from the last movie, Luke Wilson, not Owen Wilson.
Not him.
There's a bunch of jokes about how strong Lucy Liu is, which is cool. She's like carrying a heavy TV and her arms are like really muscly. And then her boyfriend...
Oh my fucking God. Yeah.
Her boyfriend, Matt LeBlanc, comes up behind her.
Oh God.
Some of you have done the homework. And he says the following.
Ah, so you thought you could escape my fortress. Not so fast.
To his Chinese-American girlfriend.
And yeah, she rightly fucking chucks him on the ground.
The
correct response, if someone is racist to you, like, throw them over your entire body.
Was that meant to
paper.
Be a reference to something? The mention of the word fortress is quite specific.
No, he's just doing a bit, but, like, you're supposed to read that, like, the Chinese Mongolian guy from the previous scene. Ah. It's like, come for her, and she reads it like that as well. But instead, it's actually just Matt LeBlanc being unbelievably racist.
Yeah. I hate when things are that.
I guess I'd prefer it to like a guy trying to kill me, but not by much.
Oh, interesting. So you condone racism? From Matt LeBlanc specifically.
Yeah, you know what? I guess kill me in that situation. I guess that's what you wanted to hear?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I guess if the choice is between do a racist accent and kill me stone dead, take me out.
Between this and forgetting the word non-binary, this is really, I'm like severing this friendship on stage tonight. I'm terrified. The movie is about this also, by the way. Because as she's unpacking her stuff, she's like, oh, you know, I'm going to be like a housewife. I'm going to get married to this guy. It's going to be cool. And the other two are like, she's so fucking quitting Charlie's Angels. She's not going to be in Charlie's Angels anymore.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, Cameron Diaz isn't going to be in Charlie's Angels 3.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be
in Charlie's Angels. She was paid like a bazillion dollars for the first one.
Yeah. Our friendship of three people might lose one person. And that's a terrifying thought.
She's like, her career's really taken off. And like, she's still going to do Charlie's Angels?
She's going to be like,
quite worrying
sometimes.
Yeah, you know, this kind of thing. Yeah. It occurs sometimes to you.
They also do about a million jokes about how sequels are less funny, all of which are just flatly true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Matt LeBlanc, I think they said Matt Berry for some reason.
Matt Berry. What, Matt Berry doing a racist accent? What would that sound like?
I don't know. I just imagine that in your head.
Kill me. Take me out.
Just from the lighting box.
That's a really good GoldenEye 64 death noise.
Thank you very much. I've been practicing. So Matt Berry LeBlanc, he says, I have a ticket to my movie premiere, which is called This Will Be Happening at the Denouement of This Movie.
Yeah,
come and
Mission
see me
Impossible
after the
two.
Ticking clock has been resolved. And we'll do the final scene of the movie there. And then like, yeah, cool. Yeah.
I do like this. One of his lines about the movie is, we've got 13 riders, so it must be good. And I really like that.
Yeah. But so then they get the call. They have to go and see Bosley. Charlie's interpreter. And Bosley has changed a little, because they come in and all three of them do the like Bosley thing. Ooh. And the reverse shot is a guy who looks not very much like Bill Murray.
Not?
And looks even less like Patrick Stewart.
Really? I didn't notice.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart, played by Bernie Mac here.
Yes.
Heavily implying for a second that Bosley has gotten the surgery that makes you black.
He's been to the Dying of the Day clinic.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gotten the Felix Light. Yeah. His legs fell off, came back, he was gay, he was straight, now he's black.
Yeah, gay Bosley is an interesting time, but but yeah, so it's Bernie Mac.
We're cuddling him on the couch, he's just like, he's like Smithers. Just like.
I mean, they kind of do gay Bosley in the next one, but we'll get to that. He is apparently regular Bosley, Bill Murray. It's not fair to call him regular Bosley. Bill Murray Bosley.
White Bosley.
White Bosley. Yeah, I don't want to normalize.
Yeah, black and normal. Cool. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe we should kill me, actually.
Yeah.
Why is it you instead of me, since I've fucked up two of these?
Well, I don't want to be involved in the call out posts.
I see.
Straight up
see.
Kill me before the tweets hit.
Uh-huh, yeah, no. Oh God, I'm having a dreadful night already, and it's only going to get worse. This is how you know you're at a good comedy show.
We all have a crisis of
killing ourselves, yeah, and it's just me.
Genuinely. Oh, I'm having anxiety.
We can do this.
So I suspect that Bernie Mac improvised quite a few of his lines, because there's a moment here where he says something and Lucy Liu corpses and they leave it in.
What he says, though,
quite
is
good.
A vintage 2003 joke that you're all going to hate.
Bosley, I hope the angels aren't being too rough on you.
Man, please, I date fat women.
Yeah.
Right, which one of you laughed? Turn the spotlight on right now.
I honestly think
it was
all
thank you for joining us, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of smack of ad-libs, right? But it's the ad-libs are pretty dated at this point.
Well, yeah, one of my notes is, let's get Bernie Mac out of my movie now. Kind of done with this guy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You want to go back to normal Bosley? Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yes.
So at this point, the director of the FBI calls, it doesn't matter his name, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And so does Robert Patrick, and they're like, yo, the rings that Bruce Willis had, he was in Sixth Sense, do you remember that? And then the ring that I had, Robert Patrick, at the start of the movie, which I lost, They have the names on of everyone who's in witness protection everywhere, yeah. always.
Yep. They call it the HALO program, mm-hmm. hidden alias list operation, right? And so to like get the like witness security, witness protection list, you have to have these two rings, mm. right? And there are people who want these rings. And this sets what I like to call the cultural insensitivity power hour.
Because, have you got the names of these guys?
Oh, I do.
Wonderful, but wonderful.
They are named respectively. They are the Diablo Cartel.
Oh, sí, señor.
The Antonioni family.
I'm in the process of dealing with these Guido motherfuckers.
Pass.
I prefer we use the term Italian Americans.
The
she's on this shit like a launch pad. Isn't
yeah. yeah, this is amazing.
The Tanaka Yakuza.
Careful, Whitey.
And finally,
and last but not least, the O'Grady clan, which is three Southie guys in tank tops. Mm. These are equal criminal forces, right?
Mm, yeah. And somebody is offering to sell the knock list from Mission Impossible.
Yeah, yeah. These two cock rings.
These two cock rings with all the names on them. Uh-huh. And, you know, one of the witnesses on the witness protection program has already turned up dead. So, yeah. you know.
Why don't you go and investigate, right?
Yeah, go to the next location.
You know what was popular in 2003 was the show CSI.
Mm. Oh.
So we do a bunch of CSI jokes because they're all CSI characters. And Bernie Mac does the inevitable.
I'm not going nowhere near no dead body.
Uh-huh, yeah, this is a representation.
What was the deal with that?
The deal with that is that it's a pretty racist bit.
Yeah, he's afraid of ghosts.
Yes. If he says anything and you're like, what's going on there? It's a racist joke, but
you just don't have the background for it. Whereas I, who have learned about every form of racism...
In order to not do them.
Yeah. The opposite of George Lazenby's character in The Man from Hong Kong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I learned your language, Inspector, and your culture. I respect it greatly.
I learned so much from voice chat and Mongolian Team Fortress 2.
Be like, wow, November's voice training's really come on, but also she's got a weird Mongolian accent now.
Yeah, I wonder what that might sound like. So there's a cop guarding the house where this guy's died, and it's Andrew Wilson, also not Owen Wilson.
They're like Skarsgårds, budding off each other.
I didn't know there were this American many. Skarsgårds. Every time I blip, there's another one of these fuckers, and it's never Owen Wilson.
I think I saw American Skarsgårds play in 2010. Great. The indie landfill era.
Yeah. So he's a cop, and the way they get past him is Cameron Diaz out-cops him.
Yes.
Yeah, what does she do here?
He says that you can't proceed into the vicinity of the location of the corpse. We've got a 745 and a 297. And she's like, we will directly 725 in the vicinity of the 94. It's in the 692, 725. And he's just like, damn, you got me.
Yeah.
One of the codes is like a 119 or something, and she goes, like a chinchilla farm? And he goes... ranch, but you're good.
Yeah, when my careers counselor asked for me what I wanted to do at school, this was the whole scene. I want to out-cop the cops.
Sovereign citizenship?
Yeah.
Just like, legally, my name is Cameron B. Diaz. You guys, my thumbprints and blood and shit.
Do not consent to treaty.
I also learned how to be a cop so that I can not do it.
It's basically true, yeah.
And a lot from Cop Team Fortress.
This is regular Team Fortress, really.
Oh, Vem's voice training's really coming around. She sounds like a cop.
I proceed the podcast style, gentlemen. So they go in and they do some CSI shit, and they're
they see the deceased gentleman.
Yeah, and the deceased gentleman has I forget how he's like choked on popcorn or something.
Oh yeah, he's been made to look like he choked on popcorn, but actually he's been smothered. And they find two clues.
Yeah.
One of which is pineapple wax.
Yes, for like sex wax. Yeah, sex wax.
For like surfers, and then there's a very specific sneaker print, which somebody is like, oh, he had a limp, which is. Outrageous, but that is also like an actual thing from Sherlock Holmes.
It's how they fucking caught the Night Stalker. Like Drew accidentally does some like real cop shit with the like sneaker analysis. Yeah,
who's mm-hmm. the Night Stalker?
Serial killer. Don't worry about it.
He's a great hero. His ult turns it to night no matter when. It is
not.
I like serial killers.
But if
don't
you
get
use
caught.
A phoenix egg uh-huh, during that, it turns it back to day. That's for. For nobody.
So if I pinch the bridge of my nose any harder, I'm going to give myself like a serious blood flow problem. It's a workplace injury.
Okay, slight sneaker, like print limp, and then also pineapple wax. Well, surfer, so let's go to the beach.
That's a sentence that someone say verbatim having a stroke, by the way.
It's a quote from a movie. I wrote it down.
Also true.
So they go, fuck it, let's hit the beach.
But before they do that, though, Lucy Liu's dad has to show up in the movie.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And I forgot to add the drop of John Cleese saying the word poppers, but it's John Cleese.
Boo, John Cleese. Guy we hate to see.
Boo, enemy of the show, John Cleese, fuck off.
Enemy of the show.
And so Lucy Liu goes,
Daddy's home.
And the thing is, you can't call John Cleese daddy. That's not allowed for
He's
you to
not.
Do that. But she does. And they do a bunch of like very cute bits.
Well, he doesn't know that she's a spy.
Yes.
And then she's like, oh, I work at the hospital. These are my two friends. Cameron Diaz, who's a surgeon.
First of all, it's a lot like, having a podcast and not wanting to admit it. Yeah, I'm a doctor. Mm. But the second is, again.
I'm an audio engineer, okay? If my landlord asks.
So Drew Barrymore.
Real.
executive produced, big fan of this movie, a lot of impact on the script, bisexual woman, and a role that she assigns to herself.
And Dylan is the head of gynecology.
And she gives a little look when that line comes up, and it's just like, I see what you're doing here. It's like,
and then later on, where they have to leave the scene, she goes, yeah, I better go and scrub up.
Uh-huh, yeah. there's a fair amount of this. I have a bit of a thesis about Drew Barrymore in this movie. Now they have to go to the beach. And they're looking for a guy with like pineapple surf wax. Mm. Mm. And instead, they find Demi Moore.
Yeah.
No, you're right that time.
Yes.
Fully correct.
You had the correct answer.
The rest of you do it now. Demi Moore.
Demi Moore from such films as... shout out. What's Demi Moore been in? What the fuck? G.I. Jane. Thank you. Yeah, okay. So she's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah, good.
G.I. Jane.
Good. We love Demi Moore.
She enters the movie looking like, kind of like, well, I'm being very generous to myself a bit. Sort of dressed very, very, like, black bikini and, like, very, like, she's like, I'm definitely not the villain of this film. Bye.
I'm Demi Moore. I'm in this movie for one scene. Goodbye. And you're like, you know you aren't, motherfucker. You're on the fucking poster.
Three things you need to know about Demi Moore in this, right? First of all, she used to be one of Charlie's Angels and she quit. Second of all, she's super into astrology. And third of all, she's not going to be back in this movie at any period. And having established all three of those,
she leaves this scene the way that I want to leave every scene, which is wearing a black bikini. She gets into a Ferrari barefoot.
Still wet
and just drives it into
the
sunset.
Why is the barefoot aspect
like,
part of...
You fall off the seat, surely. Like, the upholstery, it's not waterproof, is it? Like,
yeah, but the whole point is that it's not your Ferrari.
Okay, fine. I've never really thought about these fantasies in such detail. So now Cameron Diaz has to, like...
My notes here say, reconsidering my stance on blondes. I forgot I wrote that.
Oh, shit, it really does. Okay.
So
Cameron Diaz and Bernie Mac are left to comb the beach, right? And as they're doing this,
I'm so sorry. No, something else happens first, which is that Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore realize that Cameron Diaz may someday be retiring from Charlie's Angels.
And what they say specifically, this is a choice of words that really gave me pause. And again, lends to the thesis of Drew Barrymore, bisexual woman, engineers this movie.
Yeah, but even if she got married, she'd never leave us. Sooner or later, Dylan. You and I are going to have to break in a new angel.
To break in.
My notes say in all caps, I volunteer.
I do.
Well, this is the thing, right? If one of us quits, then the other two have to break in a new Kill James Bond host, which...
Sorry, I have to go and marry Luke Wilson.
So she finds a guy who maybe has the right kind of surf wax because Bernie Mac licks his surfboard.
Mm.
This is where I've written, let's get Bernie Mac out of my movie now.
Yeah.
Let's get him gone.
And they redo a bit from the first movie, which is we have to stop a guy from leaving while we plant a bug on his car. Mm. So we're going to distract him by licking stuff.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz goes and like hits on him to try and distract
not
him.
Not subtly. She's like, yo, the waves have really been fucking my pussy tonight.
Yeah.
And he goes, Cool. Okay.
He just completely no sells it. He's just like,
so not okay.
Is it all right?
She also, like, Cameron Diaz surfs as well, which was really impressive because, like, if anyone's ever tried surfing, it's fucking hard. It's really difficult to do.
But yeah, then she licks his credit card for some reason. I guess it's a step up from steering wheel, maybe?
Well, she's checking if it's got pineapple sex.
Oh, yeah, right? Because he used it to break in the house. Yeah, okay.
The origin of this is he used the same card as he uses to scrape the wax off his board to Jimmy open the lock. So that's how
to kill. Somehow they get next occasion is the motorbike level.
That's
Mario
true.
Kart is the next level.
There's one more bit
before we get there, which is this guy, as he's driving off, Drew Barrymore is like, damn. And the bit here is that Drew Barrymore's character always falls for the bad guy because she did last time and it's like implied to be
a funny thing.
This is a fun bit, right?
Yeah, this is good.
This has some implications that maybe we'll get into. But yeah, so now they have to like... actually, no, because as they're leaving the scene... Drew Barrymore's character, she's so in love with him that she like tries to follow him and her two friends stop her by like grabbing her by like one tit each. Which again, I remind you that Drew Barrymore is a bisexual woman who produced this movie. This is like me writing in a bit where Abby has to put me in a chokehold. Like you can't do this shit.
It's not so.
Can you do that? I mean, like, is...
It, apparently you can do it.
You're the showrunner, I am.
Shit, okay.
It seems like you can.
All right, so come back for night three? Yeah, so now they have to, like, go to a motocross event for some reason because the guy has been told that his target, Leo, is there. You just met a woman who is big into astrology. None of this doesn't register.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It does come back in a fucking insane line later on, but yeah.
One of my favorite. Like, don't worry.
I don't even know if I have this one.
Oh, God, it's fucking incredible. Anyway, we go to the motorbike level, and Cameron Diaz, who can drive any vehicle, is like revving up her bike.
She's looking
and then,
like a weird dinosaur, too, because she, like, a guy kind of like gives her a look and she goes, like, and
I used that for the trailer that we did.
Very, very unclear.
The guy she's threatening as well also doesn't seem to respond in any meaningful way to that.
Yeah. So then some bike assassins try and kill their target, Leo.
The editing of the bike race is really bad.
Well, now, hold on, because they sign in and we get a little cameo from Pink.
Yeah.
Pink is the last that they pay to get into the bike race.
Drew Barrymore a favor.
Drew Barrymore money or something.
But they have to keep cutting to characters like looking through binoculars going like, they're going around this bend, and I'm like, I'm glad you were here to tell me that, Lucy Liu, because I can't see it.
Some of the bike stunts are pretty impressive. It's just you can't see them. Like they get a bit where they like shove the guy who's going to be assassinated out of the way on his bike with another bike, sort of like Mr. Bike President get down. And it's like, this would be fucking cool if I could see it. the president of bike.
Yeah, the president.
It's like the Night Czar. You know, you think it's not a real job, but
yeah, I found out about
scene
that very
from Cars 3 with the bike president.
Yeah.
Have assassinated the bike president.
It really changed America when bike John F. Kennedy got assassinated.
When they drove those motorbikes into the... All right.
I don't know. What if his castles just did that?
Just the Pentagon in this universe.
This is too nested. Like, cars in the Charlie.
Yeah, we need to get back out of this somehow. Let's... there's a guy in black there.
Yeah.
He is a black-clad rider.
Mm-hmm.
He's got
Who could it be?
He's got a shoe knife, but like...
Clem!
Reverse Cleb, it comes out the back.
The heel Cleb.
The shoe knife or Cleb is an inherently lesbian coded weapon, confirming my theory that its wielder, Crispin Glover's creepy thin man from the first movie, is also lesbian coded.
Survive the missile strike by being bisexual. If you weren't here on night one, if you're bisexual, you can dodge bullets. That's
We established this.
Yeah, you're ready.
We expanded that to missiles by the end of night one.
So the guy with the like pineapple surfboard wax, he gets klebed. He gets klebed the fuck out.
Crispin Glover klebs the shit out of him.
Yeah, he gets mid-air reverse klebed by Crispin Glover.
And then 900 points.
He gets mid-air motorbike reverse klebed by Crispin Glover. I'm really more of a Crispin Glfider.
But he drops his necklace as he gets away. And at this point, the target takes his helmet off, and it's fucking Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, as a child actor.
Actual cannibal, Shia LaBeouf.
Very.
Some of you have been on Tumblr for a long time.
Yeah, he's a very young cannibal in this.
Ooh, no. Oh no,
he's fine, but like it's just, also the thin man does the like creepy hair thing. He like rips off some of Lucy Liu's hair and he sniffs it, and then makes his good his escape. Mm. So kid Shia LaBeouf, he was like in the witness protection program, they take him back to the office, and they're like, oh, I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of people who are in the witness protection program, like me, Drew Barrymore.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and her she has a dead name, and the dead name is kind of embarrassing. It's Helen Zass, like Helen's ass.
Mm.
And first of all, imagine having an embarrassing dead name. Second of all, imagine all of your friends immediately doing bits about it. None of you will ever see my birth certificate nor the gates of heaven. Just merciless bits. Apart from Bosley, Bosley's weirdly affirming about this.
Yeah,
Bosley's very nice.
Actually,
Bosley's an ally.
Yeah. So
he
why
is,
not?
Yeah.
But they're
like, to somebody.
Enemy to movie.
Tell us why you're in witness protection. And she's like, well, I used to be a bad girl. You can tell because I used to wear like Judas Priest t-shirts. It's the butchest a woman was allowed to be in 2003 before people got scared. Mm-hmm. And she, because she was a bad girl, she used to hang out with Seamus O'Grady of the O'Grady clan.
Mm.
And
let me just answer the question that you're all thinking. No, he's not played by an Irish guy. None of them are.
No, well,
no Irish person in this movie is played by an Irish actor.
We've established no Irish actors, no such
None.
Thing.
We haven't broken that ceiling yet.
Yeah, and we find out that like back in the day, she was like, oh, I love being a bad girl. And then he's like, oh, how about this? Gets out of the car, shoots a guy in front of her, and she's like, not that bad. I am immediately turning state's evidence and turning you into the cops.
So Seamus went to prison, and she was then recruited into Charlie's Angels somehow, and he's still alive. We cut to him immediately. He's like doing pull-ups in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing Super I will ripped. Say is that while she's introducing this, she goes, oh, we used to ride in the car all the time listening to metal, and then they cut to him, and they are listening to Living on a Prayer by John Bon Jovi. And I read My Brother in Christ.
By Allah, if you dare call this metal. But yeah, so he gets out of prison. Someone has had, like, pulled strings to get him out of prison.
Mm. And he gets given the rings and a picture of Drew Barrymore. And someone's like, don't you want to... This mysterious figure is like, don't you want to seek revenge? Go do that.
He's like,
now.
Yeah, of course I do.
Makes it nice.
He
just
definitely
walks,
not Demi Moore.
Yeah. He just walks straight out of the prison, and one of the guards is like, oh, Grady, what about your belongings? And he doesn't fucking
don't need any of that
He's
shit.
Just out of that. Doesn't give a fuck.
Does not give a fuck about the cool see-through prison electronics. Mm. You know? So they have to get Shia LaBeouf out of the movie for a bit, thank God, and into... witness protection, brackets Charlie's Angels style.
My note at this point is I'm becoming very concerned that Shia LaBeouf will be in this movie.
Don't worry.
Thankfully, not so much, because they essentially do the same bit as Rising Sun, which is like, these people aren't prepared for South Central. So they take them to Bernie Mac's mum's house in South Central. Can tell because there's lowriders bouncing on the street outside.
Nobody called O'Grady ever set foot in this neighborhood. Direct line.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And we meet Bernie Mac's mum, who adopted Bill Murray. Not sure how the timelines work out there.
She
that
actually
picture
has
Bill Murray
a picture
on the wall. Sir, not appearing in this film, Bill Murray.
Adopted a like 40-year-old man.
Well,
they probably adopted him as a child, I'm imagining, but
then again.
I don't know.
The photo of him is him in his 40s, and it's the only one they have.
So they go, Shia LaBeouf, wait here until the final scene of the film, and then we'll get you back. And then they go, okay, what's this necklace that Crispin Glover dropped? Oh, it's a necklace from a Catholic orphanage. Let's dress as nuns for the next bit.
Again, imagine wearing a necklace that contains part of your backstory on it. Stupid idea. But yeah, so they go to the...
They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that's that you know, padlock incident.
I have no backstory. Two-dimensional character.
My God, are you an NPC?
I am in Baldur's Gate 3, yeah?
I could only afford Mongolian Baldur's Gate 3. You're not in that, sorry.
I straight up never got to you. I'm really sorry. I put so many hours into VG, and I was like, I can't do this anymore.
After the show, if anyone wants to trade items, let me know.
But so they
see
go
you
to
no
this.
No longer walk in Lady Shaw's shadow.
I'm crouching down behind you and like putting things in your inventory.
So they go to this orphanage, which is fully the Playboy Mansion, by the way. Little sort of visual joke there. And this is largely an excuse for them to do nun fits. Mm. And this is the thing, this movie is largely about women getting their fits off. And I respect that a great deal more than if, for instance, someone was to try and do like a gritty reboot, right? I appreciate this a lot more.
I think that would really ruin it if they were trying to...
Yeah. There's a Carrie Fisher cameo, because Carrie Fisher owed Drew Barrymore a favor.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher is the mother superior, my only note is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And she said mothers all over the fucking thing.
Do you recognize the mute assassin from Charlie's Angels 1? She says, yeah, that's Crispin Glover. He was in Back to the Future. And
she said, yeah, we love that guy. He's our main guy.
Yeah.
What else has Crispin Glover done?
Oh, a bunch of weird shit.
Beowulf! That was it. He did Beowulf.
He's been like secretly donating all of his like creepy thin man money into the orphanage. Mm. He's a good guy, really, apart from the fact that he has a weird hair fetish.
Mm. Yeah, they need to spin out a whole backstory for the pale man, but they only have what they had in the first one, and they're like, I'm not adding anything to that.
Yeah.
So he arrives and they're like, yeah, we found him. He had been like eating roots and bugs for a couple of days. We think he was in a Romanian circus that burned down, quote. And then when they're giving him a haircut the first time, he pulls one of Carrie Fisher's locks and is like sniffing it. So takes the hair off people he loves.
It's just straightforwardly really good.
It's great. I love him.
So also at this point, we have to, all of them have to get whipped by the Mother Superior again. It's weird that this happens in every one of these movies.
When will it be?
Drew Barrymore, I see what you're doing here. Also, immediately after this, she looks at a hot priest and gets the boing sound effect, as if to suggest an erection.
Oh, I thought the priest was doing that about her.
No, it's the camera's on her when it happens. It's fully like trans coded. They make Cameron Diaz play with some seagull shit. I don't know why they.
Because Crispin Glover has sent them a car and it has seagull shit on it, and Cameron Diaz.
Where are you going? No, please stop down. It's only because you're in the front.
Mention of seagull shit. And Gwen's like, and you have to do something.
So actual what? Turn the spotlight on.
I had lunch with her today. She's
this
very
is why
nice.
You have two girlfriends. You've got a backup.
No.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Quick, press it.
Oh,
when they die down, get the two girlfriends in the bar.
How many men do you
have? I've got two girlfriends in the bar.
God. All right, so one friendship, two relationships squandered immediately over the course of the show. But yeah, so because she has bird's autism, she's like, oh, this seagull shit tastes like the seagulls
from next location.
Yeah, from the port where all the Irish guys work.
Yeah.
The Irish guy port.
By the way, every time we cut to a new scene, we have a song that like literally describes what's happening on the screen.
Yeah.
So now we just have like boats in the water. Like we had like surfing girl earlier on. Every single time.
Mm-hmm. Thank God shipping up to Boston wasn't out at this point. Because holy fuck.
I was inspired by this movie.
If that's not true, don't tell me. I don't know.
they infiltrate the port as kind of like Rosie the Riveter. Like welders?
Yeah.
It's a good fit.
There is one joke that made me laugh, which is that there's one tanker docked in the port, which is like under really heavy guard, and it's called Merkin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little joke for people
Some
who know
of you
what
have
that
worked
means.
On film sets, okay.
Yeah, which is the name of Seamus O'Grady's like dog or something is the bird.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
good.
Also,
really
he arrives in the port with a giant shamrock key ring on his keys, so we know which keys to take. Mm-hmm. And they play some pipes over them as well. Just in case you're aware, this guy's Irish.
Is he? No,
he's not. No.
So
we haven't
British.
Yet heard him speak. But
oh, we're about to. We're fucking about to. But first.
Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, because they noticed that there's a bar, like a strip club in the port. And in 2003, everyone was really into Dita Von Teese and burlesque, right? So we have to do like a burlesque dance scene.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so confected when people try and get a reaction from the audience by doing like really big stage makeup.
Just using this as an excuse to go for like weird outfits that you've wanted to try.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing? I hope
Look
you had a good time.
Look who's come crawling back.
It's mostly me who does the crawling, to be honest.
We had your understudy ready to come on.
But yeah, no, I prefer a more restrained look myself.
Me too.
with the yeah.
Sorry, did you say more restrained?
Yes. So at this point, we do the dance sequence. They do the exact same heist bit from the first movie, except without there's no brown face, at least in this one. But
yes,
they steal a guy's keys with the shamrock key ring. They steal a guy's ID.
I will say this about the Charlie's Angels movies: they don't hit a race twice. This movie is just as racist as the first one, but it's a fully different cast.
Yeah. So going one by one down the list. Yeah.
The Wheel of Fortune
They've
comes
got to have
up.
Had a list they were crossing.
Yeah. Mongolian Irish.
Mongolian Irish, Diablo Cartel, Antonioni family.
Si, senor. So at this point, the big foot fetish quotient from the first movie.
Careful, Whitey!
There we go.
So the first movie big into like feet, right? Yep. This movie big into whips. And so they kind of like whip the audience a bit and whip each other. There's
Lucy Liu whips Cameron Diaz's clothes off and I'm like,
Okay. It's difficult to take sort of cohesive notes for a comedy live show about something with one hand.
I took one note.
I was recording drops with the other one. What's wrong with you?
What my only note is that they are dancing to the Pink Panther theme, bracket sexy version.
Every song I listen to is bracket sexy version. They have a playlist. So Bernie Mac has to like bring them inside a crate because they have one move, which is boxing themselves up. And he does like a bunch of Black Irish jokes because he claims to be Irish.
The doorman's just like, because his fake ID says Paddy O'Malley.
Yeah.
And the doorman says, "You don't look Irish." And like, the doorman is Scottish.
Yeah.
He's just in a don't look like a Paddy I've ever met. You're in the wrong fucking bit of the port, pal.
So the next boat over is the all Scottish.
There's like one wharf per Celtic nationality.
That is our demand.
So as my next note says, brackets heterosexually, let's get naked and encased in plaster together. Because that's their plan for infiltrating the thing, is to get fully naked for no reason, encase themselves in plaster as statues. Again, someone's kink. Bust the plaster open from the inside, run around naked for a bit, then get changed. Just so you get some like nude shots.
It's so good because they're all like sealed in plastic and they bust out of that shit like the Pillar Men in JoJo Part 2. Just like.
It's really explosive, but they get changed.
Really good.
And so Drew's character is at this point wearing a Union Jack shirt. And this seems
impossible to not like read an immense amount into this.
Well, this is the thing, right? Yeah. You think in 2003 this is a Spice Girls thing. I think it's in case you need to like open a fight by debuffing your Irish ex. You're gonna take 1d6 psychic damage, motherfucker. But
like the bard is like playing God Save the Queen, just like, oh.
But it's at this point that our boy Seamus O'Grady enters the movie.
The movie like completely changes tone.
Yeah, this is the thing, right? I'll do the drop first so you hear what he sounds like.
You've got a lot of nerve coming here and stealing from me.
You've got a lot of nerve coming here and stealing from me. It's like me with a head injury having watched a couple of episodes of Derry Girls.
He's like... He's like pinging back and forth between like Liverpool, Ireland, America, and then a little bit of Scotland. He's like doing like the full transatlantic slave trade in one sentence. Just ding!
Yeah, me watching so much Derry Girls, like I dissociate and think I'm one of them. What if I don't graduate?
Yeah. But also, despite that, like, I don't know who this actor is, but he gives a fucking terrifying performance.
Yeah, but this is the
thing.
He's
shirtless.
Right?
He's jacked like Wolverine.
Yeah. This is the, like, heavy bit. And this is the sort of, like, content warning, right? For, like, I guess we'll say domestic violence in general.
Yeah.
Because, like, most of this movie seems like it was filmed by a man named McGee. And then this sequence seems like it was done by Jane Campion because McGee was off sick. Because as soon as he enters the scene, the camera, all the shots of Drew are like from above. She is visibly scared of him. Mm. And when the fight scene happens, the other two are doing like wire foo bullshit. And then he punches her in the mouth to the point that you can see blood. Yeah. It's really like visually uncomfortable. She tries to do the like sticking her legs up to like block him trick from the first movie, and he just starts choking her. It's legitimately like really uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, the way that he is shot and the way that he acts this, it's like a fucking terrifying performance. Yeah. And the point they run away with the rings. Do you remember the rings? The rings with the cock rings.
Yeah, she's fully having a survivor moment, and they leave her.
They do, and then they run away, and then they're on the oil tanker, and then they go down to the docks, and Seamus just like jumps off the oil tanker and just like drops 50 feet and then goes and like lands like Wolverine. Like I genuinely thought he'd had some kind of super soldier serum, but I guess what they're going for is like, this is the abusive ex. This is how powerful he seems in her mind. Because then they have like a big, they go like a big like wall of fire from an improvised flamethrower, and he just fucking walks right through it. And I was like, Jesus Christ!
It's what. And the thing is, right? If you want to map on which of the Charlie's Angels we are, it's interesting that in this movie the storylines are like Lucy Liu. I'm having a break with my boyfriend. Are we on again? Are we off again? Drew Barrymore. The entire plot of Irreversible. Cameron Diaz, I love to dance. Just because she's having fucking trauma. She's in.
The Lucy Liu thing is, I hope my dad doesn't find out what I do for a living.
Yeah.
He's here tonight.
Also, if somebody was starting a fire and they were a bit twisted, what song do you think you would use on the soundtrack for this moment? If you just had no imagination, Smack My Bitch Up is correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, but like, genuinely, like he like menaces her, and he's like, in an incredible bit of screenwriting for abuser shit, he says, I'm not going to let you hurt me anymore.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like, fucking hell, where did this come from? Mm. On night two of like a trilogy of stupid movies that include like, you know, like, I'm just meant to be, yeah. I'm just here doing my fucking House of Gucci drops and you're hitting me with this shit?
Mm. Yeah, again, we start this out with the like, this is what we reckon Mongolia's like, power hour, and then they're just
Yar
like,
Yar har fiddle dee dee. Mongolians are right to me.
Yeah. And then the rest of it's fucking season three of Top of the Lake. What the fuck?
Just one scene of like a much better and more interesting movie hits us. However, I will deflate it somewhat. He is using the traditional Irish double reverse scimitars during this fight scene, which the curve down. And his line to her at the end of this is, I'm going to teach your friends about pain. And it's like, oh man, are you?
I think just hearing that, they've learned.
Yeah, they've already left, I think.
It's like, on the one hand, right, like, abusive being like, I'm not going to hurt you, I'm going to hurt your friends and hurt you by separating you from them. On the other, I'm saying it in the weirdest fucking accents. So, meanwhile, Bosley is fucking playing Cluedo with young Shia LaBeouf. Just so you remember they're in the movie. Mm-hmm. And we get a bit more
Shia LaBeouf's like, is it time for the end of the movie yet? And Baby Mike's like, no.
Nah. At this point, we get some more John Cleese.
Sadly, yes.
Because Lucy Liu does a bunch of innuendo to be like, hey, we sucked a bunch of guys off because I'm a sex worker.
Is that...
The joke is that Matt LeBlanc is trying to explain Charlie's Angels to John Cleese. The way he explains it sounds like she's a sex worker.
It's so funny. They keep cutting back throughout the course of the entire next mission that we're going to talk about, and it's like Matt LeBlanc just spends all day explaining
in the most like laden terms. Yeah. She does like an out call service with two other women and like Bernie Mac for safety, I guess.
And then like Lucy Liu like comes in and then she's like, oh yeah, we just took on like 17 Irish sailors, and John Cleese is like, but then there's this really nice, but she's like, I'm so glad I don't have to lie to you anymore, like I don't really work at the hospital. And he does have a nice line where he just goes, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, John Cleese, like, clearly beats the swerve allegations. But like,
yeah, he does.
And the guy doesn't, I don't think, but the role does. So Cameron Diaz, she has to go to her high school reunion with her boyfriend.
Just imagine, oh my God. if you if you went to your 10-year high school reunion and you brought your date, Cameron Diaz! Luke Wilson is fucking winning this.
Well, imagine if you went to your high school reunion in a dress and high heels and then you got insecure and were forced to use the men's bathroom. Because that happens to her in this movie. Very important piece of trans feminine cinema. I don't remember why she has to use the men's bathroom. I'm going to make the Cameron AGP as joke again.
I think it's just locked or something like that. Maybe it's full or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going through all the like buildings and like locking the women's bathrooms to force cis women to confront their own toxic prejudices.
This is the strangest form of stuff, yeah,
strangest form of activism.
My next five notes are all no in full caps because she and I hate having to say this phrase. She pisses like a sexy baby.
Yeah, she does piss like a sexy baby.
Because the Spider-Man underoos from the first movie are back.
Fucking Spider-Man underwear. Yeah. She's putting her knees together.
She pisses whimsically. I've never pissed whimsically once in my life. Ever.
Anytime I'm in that bathroom.
I like how you looked at one of your girlfriends as you said that.
She knows. Making direct
as if to say I haven't pissed whimsically yet.
Whimsical piss tonight, babe.
Typically enthusiastic consent doesn't take the form of going like, okay, yeah. Okay.
I don't love that we're incorporating my girlfriend's responses into the show. We're placing a lot of power in their hands. And I'm used to that, but you two aren't. So, as she's in the bathroom pissing whimsically, two guys come in and they're like, "Hey, did you hear that the Luke Wilson's going to propose to his insanely hot girlfriend Cameron Diaz tonight?"
Yeah.
And as this happens, sort of my nightmare happens. Every wall of the toilet stall collapses around her, leaving her exposed and pissing. I don't understand why this is in the film.
What the fuck is that doing?
Also, he doesn't propose to her. They just do a dance.
Yeah, they
dance.
Do a sort of contractually mandated.
Yeah, because her B-plot is, I love dancing.
Yeah. One of the bathroom guys is Kenny Banya from Seinfeld. That's not for you know anyone, but I saw him and went, oh my God.
I think producing a Seinfeld podcast might be like not good for you in terms of how you consume media.
I don't do that one.
Oh, don't you? No. Okay, fuck. Okay.
No, Jesus. Milo does. No.
So,
Drew Barrymore quits.
Yeah, she quits. Her abuser comes back and it triggers her, and she's like, okay, well, I'm just going to protect my friends by isolating myself and going to Mexico.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to leave the movie for about 5 minutes.
And the thing is, they didn't know to put the yellow filter on Mexico outdoors yet.
Yeah, so it kind of just looks like a normal country, which is
It's crazy. She goes to like a bar in like Juarez or Tijuana, and
there's quite a sad moment. She's so dispirited. She walks into the bar, and a guy like slaps her on the ass.
What's she doing in my direction?
Doesn't even react. Because yours was the nearest ass.
I see. Okay. Yeah, this is usually what I get told in these situations. She's about as depressed as I am, though, by the way. But yeah, so she's insecure, right? And she sort of like, she sidles up to the bar, and next to her is one of the OG Charlie's Angels, one of the original three from like the 70s TV series. And she talks about feeling like insecure about it, and they have this little dialogue.
A real angel, not someone who's pretending to be something she's not.
Your past is what makes you who you are, Dylan.
I don't know what that means, but okay, cool, it sounds...
Dylan was under the impression at the start of a scene that she just fell out of the coconut tree. Unfortunately, she understands what she now is just in a consequence of all that she is and all that came before her.
I would hate to believe that I fell out of the coconut tree. Also, she gets her mojo back because the guy slaps her ass again on the way out. He's really committed to sexual harassment. Mm. I do know that it's a white guy, which I appreciate.
He's really pushing his fucking luck, is that guy. Don't worry.
Well, so the thing is, Mexicans weren't on the Wheel of Fortune. It was Mongolians. Mm-hmm. And Irish,
the Diablo
are.
Cartel
Diablo
were busy,
cartel.
I guess.
Oh, sí, señor.
So,
yeah, but so her
I feel like you only ever lean over and play a drop for me when it's Careful Whitey.
That's because it's the only one I know where it is. I haven't established in my mind.
We can give you the Irish accent one. That's up here.
You got a lot of nerve coming here and stealing from me.
You got a lot of nerve.
A lot of nerve, nerve coming here.
So her journey from like, I'm out, I'm despairing to I'm back takes canonically like 70 seconds.
Yeah.
She sits down at the bar, she orders a drink. She doesn't even drink it by the time she's like, nah, fucking, I'm back, boys.
Yeah. So the fucking FBI director comes to the thing and is like, hey, you found both of our cock rings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cheers. I'll just take both of these. Mm-hmm. Bosley correctly deduces this is the fucking bad guy.
Yeah, Robert Patrick. He was in Terminator 2.
Yeah. It's a bad guy. So we gotta like follow his car and spy
Die
on
too.
Him. Yeah. Which they do.
Well, Patrick only does sequels.
Yeah. Like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the sequel to Fox Mulder for a while as well.
So the Robert
pretty
Patrick
good, actually.
Podcast.
I quite like that season.
I seldom get to write the phrase perplexing luge sequence.
Yeah.
Very mellifluous.
I've written the phrase, this is De Beers group propaganda, and I cannot for the fucking life of me remember what...
It could be almost anything.
Oh, no, shit. It's because when Dylan's doing a thing, the vision that she has, she goes, diamonds can't be made. They're only grown. And I'm like...
I wrote, or you can... No, she says...
They can be made.
Angels are
better.
Like diamonds. You can't make them. You have to find them. And I wrote, or you can grow angels in a lab?
She's a little bit like insecure about like not being cis.
Angels are
like
diamonds. There's a shitload of them in a big vault. Controlled by the De Beers group to artificially raise the price of diamonds. Look it up, it's real.
If you want to be an impossibly beautiful woman, you have to have always been an impossibly beautiful woman. I will hammer a trans narrative out of this fucking movie if it kills me. She has to get like an older, clockier woman to be like, your past is part of who you are.
So anyway, Robert Patrick is driving away. He's calling the villain of the film on the phone, who's still like, I'm not Demi Moore. He says a bunch of like cryptic code phrases as Lucy Liu is like tailing him on a luge. On the road,
she's attached
him in a car,
plunged
which,
onto
which
the thing.
Cameron Diaz is tailing him in a car. Why not simply do that?
Yeah, also it's the like highway from Austin Powers 2.
Is it?
Yeah, pretty much. So he gets to Griffith Park Observatory, a beautiful location, gets up on one of the domes and is like, hey, I made it to the secret rendezvous. How's it going? Immediately shot.
Iced.
He gets
deagled. His pose in this is so good. He's like, we did it. And just gets fucking shot.
Yeah.
Straight up comedy. Really good, actually. Just like, we did it, partner.
Perfectly,
out of the movie,
perfectly
gone.
Deagled to pieces. Yeah.
And it's the guns angel.
That's right.
Demi Moore with two golden guns looking sick
golden
as
Golden Desert Eagles.
Sick
as
Damn, she must have prestige to get those. She's Akimbo Deagles?
She's wearing Louboutins as well, like red bottoms. Really nice. And Dylan comes back at this point, Drew Barrymore. She's like, I found myself in Mexico. I understand that I'm actually based, not cringe.
Must have driven fast to get back.
Just in time for all of them to just get fucking shot.
Oh, well, first of all, Demi Moore has this insanely hard line with her. Why are you doing this? You used to be a Charlie's Angel. And she goes, why be an angel when I can play God? And it's like, ooh. Okay, I'm supporting you. You're way better. I like you. You're the best.
You're like, you're spitting. Wow.
And at this point, she's like, are you surprised to see me? And they're like, no, we're not. And I think Cameron Diaz says, typical Pisces, we deduced it was you from your astrological phenome.
I'm just really annoyed that they missed a chance to do a Drew Barrymore falls for the bad guy thing here.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I know.
They're doing the thing where they're like, of course it's you. Who else has all these connections and could have got Seamus out of prison? Who else can hire all these people? And one of the lines is, who else could hire a surfer as an assassin? And I really, really like that. She's like, I feel like I could do it.
Is that difficult?
So go down to the
they
surf
won't talk
beach,
to you if you're not a surfer. They won't do it.
But yeah, they have this fight, and then Demi was like, when I was an angel, we used guns, and she just shoots them.
Full force straight up Glocks all
which
three.
Which I love.
Yeah.
She uses the strap.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she's got the strap. She's got two, even.
Joke for the night one heads.
She
leave
uses
me alone.
Two straps on three women. Also, these are the guns that like knock you unconscious perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. they all get like shot off a thing. And then knocked unconscious.
Yeah, the next shot is the three of them lying completely dead on the floor, which is always my favorite thing in a movie, is a shot of an actor just lying completely on the floor.
So again, so Drew Barrymore has arranged this, so she is under two women, which if...
Not yet, but they
this
do
point,
that in a second.
At this
yeah.
point, Demi Moore goes to the Charlie's Angels headquarters and does her villain monologue, and she was like, I was always the best, Charlie.
Really cool, actually.
It's cool.
Because he's on the speakerphone, and he's like, listen, this isn't a job, we're a family, and she's mouthing along to the "we're a family" bit and rolling her eyes because he's clearly done it so many times. It's like shit toxic boss thing.
Yeah, she shoots the intercom, she shoots the place up, and she's like, ah, fuck you, I'm gonna go rogue because I'm sick as fuck.
She's cool. He says, you're always good, and she says, I was never good, I was great. Yeah, it's really good.
Fantastic, yeah. Because all he's saying is basically like friendship non sequiturs.
Yeah.
And she's just like no selling the whole thing.
Yeah.
He has the exact affect of John Henry Eden from Fallout 3.
He does!
Well.
He does!
She's arguing with a computer at this point.
I could only thought Mongolian.
She just does Sean Henry. Connery, kill yourself. And he's like, yeah, all right. Yeah, good. Okay. Good.
So,
obviously the angels are alive because they all have bulletproof sports bras. Good thing Demi Moore didn't aim for the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Drew Barrymore wakes up under two women.
Also, the sprinklers go off. At this point, drops of water, almost like raindrops, are falling on them from above, falling on the head. So what song do you think McGee shows? No, he does! He does use raindrops keep falling on my head.
My bitch up.
Oh, there you go.
Just getting rain on me, like, damn, these raindrops are really smacking my bitch.
In many ways.
Yeah, so they have to figure out, we're laughing more than you are, this is fun.
I don't give a fuck if I'm having fun. I don't, genuinely.
So, of course, they figure out the, like, code phrases, right?
Yeah. Cameron Diaz is like, I looked at the script, the next location, it's at the movie premiere that Matt LeBlanc said at the start of the film. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they celebrate by spanking her as well, which is not sure. And then the cultural insensitivity power hour returns.
Oh, God. Because, yeah, the boys are in town.
Yeah, all of the boys are back in town. If only there was a song for this.
Smack my bitch up?
Yeah, I guess it really works for everything. You know? Kind of evergreen. And they like take some keys and follow some clues and like follow a map. And they take the keys from a bellhop, right? And I go, that's Cameron Diaz in blackface. Again. And it is.
Fortunately, it's only the mask kind of blackface and not the just straight up actual genuine blackface that we saw from
Drew, it's Drew Barrymore.
I guess I feel like they're different.
It's the LL Cool J thing again.
I don't know if one's specifically better, but it's not her actual face. It is just a different actor.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then they do
the Mission Impossible mask thing.
Which
anyway,
is better.
All the good guys and all the bad guys are converging on the theater where the movie premiere is happening. Demi Moore is like slinking around in lingerie and a massive fur coat planning schemes.
When you get
She's
evil,
got the shit in hand.
When you get evil,
my notes say I'm always doing this.
When you get evil, you become sexier. It's just a rule. You just do. Like, you see the progression happening here. I'm still good.
She's She's got like the one big claw as well,
claw is really good.
So
yeah.
as Seamus and his boys are getting in the lift and they look at the lift operator, Seamus checks out the lift operator's ass and you can see him thinking to himself, that's Drew Barrymore in blackface. I'll bear this in mind in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, the thing about abuse is uncanny ability to detect you in blackface, I guess. I've never known this to be a thing of them, but I've never worn blackface.
Yeah, good. Keep that up.
Yeah, the abuser issue is anti-hero.
Critical support.
I don't know.
I suppose the point of blackface is not to pass. Like, it's not to be undetectable. Like,
I mean, I don't know. But the thing is,
someone take me out, shoot me.
If you we have a sound booth, we can get them a rifle.
Saf, please take me out, man.
Careful, Whitey. So all of the goons go to this meeting where the knock list or whatever is going to be sold to the highest bidder. Mm. And all of the non-Irish ones immediately fall into the clutches of the FBI, who have been warned by Charlie's Angels ahead of time.
Yes.
And get arrested. But the Irish ones arrive at the other rooftop above Hollywood Boulevard.
Mm.
There is something I really like here, which is that Demi Moore, when it goes quiet, it's really terrifying, isn't it?
The rapt attention.
Demi Moore is like, she walks out onto the roof and all it has is like a big telescope with which she looks at the other thing, and you get three different angled shots. Or she goes up to a telescope and looks down it, and then the next three shots are just from completely different directions.
Yeah, the perfect telescope.
Fuck off, Jesus.
They set up the telescope so as she looks through it, she sees her plan falling apart as the FBI are arresting the other people. And the angels behind her are like, aha, we're still alive.
And so they confront her by doing, again, the little like sort of karate poses. And she goes, that's cool. I have three separate bricks of C4 planted around this rooftop. How would you like to die instantly?
And then Seamus appears and he goes, I'd recognize that ass anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and opens fire.
Except he says it in a fucked Irish accent.
Yes,
attempted.
So we get like a martial arts gunfight.
Attempted racism.
And Crispin Glover is here. And he's good now. He's come to save the day.
Yeah, the creepy thin man assumes a kind of anti-hero role. You know, because if they kill the Charlie's Angels, he won't be able to smell their hair anymore.
Mm.
It's very, very functionally driven, you know, by the need to smell the hair.
He kisses Drew Barrymore.
Well, see, this is the thing, right? Because the creepy thin man, he abhors the brutal sexual violence of Seamus O'Carbombs, right? I'm treating it with the respect it deserves.
I tried to tone match you there, and my brain only gave me Paddy McGuinness, but that is a guy already.
Racially aggravated improv. Of course, he abhors his brutal sexual violence in favor of like his own genteel sexual violence. It's a real Democrat-Republican situation. And you have to vote Creepy Thin Man. Mm. Otherwise, Seamus O'Carbons
will get in.
Even
though he keeps sniffing people's hair.
Exactly.
Think about what the other guy would do.
So yeah, the fight scene progresses with him on like the side of the angels, and because she always falls for the bad guy as he like saves her, she goes, "Damn, what if we were something?
What if this guy's hot as hell?" And she gives him a little kiss,
rips
some of her hair, and then he like leans back and she screams again.
Yeah, she's like, "I could get into this."
She's like, fuck it.
Yeah, she takes some of his and then like half-heartedly smells it, and then is like, "Yeah."
You ever see someone develop a kink in real time?
Yeah. But then Seamus is back and he stabs Crispin Glover.
Yes, with the traditional Irish scimitar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Drew Barrymore is like, she falls off the edge of the building. She's clinging on by her fingernails, and he tries to burn her fingernails off with her trusty lighter from the first movie. This is so fucking sadistic. Where did this come from?
Jane Campion back for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Genuinely. Just like, I'll just do the abuse shots. You guys make a movie, just like insert them into it, you know? It like quietly is genuinely harrowing stuff.
But she gets victory over her abuser the same way I did. Throws him off a roof.
Yep.
Yeah, throws him off a roof. Throws him off a roof, both the creepy thin man and...
That's not true. I didn't actually murder my...
And Seamus. So the best revenge is living well, I say, coping. and seething. Listen, I'm in front of like several hundred people who will love me. It's fine. It's worth it. It worked out okay. And listen, if it doesn't work out okay, you can always drop a big neon letter E on them.
Yes.
And I forgot to include the drop that's the EA Games thing, except it's just E. You will have to imagine it in your heads. I do not deserve your respect. I'm lower than skeletons.
I gotta stress, Seamus O'Malley, he falls down and he like lands on the sword that was already through the thin man, and then the big E hits the two of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're just being like, no, this guy's dead. This guy's fucking dead.
Definitely.
Yeah. So,
at promise. This point, Demi Moore activates the bombs, and she's wearing like... It's like a I guess like a bodysuit. It's got like trousers and sleeves, but it's also got like a sheer like capelet on the back of it. And she throws up the sheer capelet and it's fucking Batman wings. And she like bodysuit glides off the roof. And cool. I'm like, hell yeah!
No,
yeah.
It's fucking sick. Yeah. I'm so on her side.
The thing is, this chase scene has a complete lack of physics
into a convertible.
Yeah, like complete lack of physics in a way that I really like. It's more fun than like any, like if you did, for instance, a grounded, realistic Charlie's Angels, that would probably fucking suck.
She becomes the Green Goblin because she's flying past the movie premiere and she's like, and like throws pumpkin bombs down at Matt LeBlanc, and then Bosley has to like hit it with a fucking like baseball bat blow it up in midair. And then everyone's like, oh wow, the special effects are great. Like,
yeah,
it's sick actually.
We get a long chase scene. We do have to award Cameron Diaz the Kronstein Rosette for attacking the driver of the car she is in. All of them separately get thrown off that car and end up in the Yamcha death pose.
The way Lucy Liu hits the van when she comes off is some of the funniest slapstick I've ever seen. Because she hits it straight up and then like slams face first, and then the next shot we see is her going through a window and hitting like 10 mannequins. Yeah. And I'm like, oh fuck, that would suck, man.
But so Cameron Diaz, because everyone else has had closure apart from, I guess, Lucy Liu, Cameron Diaz has to like fight her.
And it has to complete her character arc of I love dancing.
Yeah. By having again, weirdly intense fist fight. There's a lot of like blood and drool. There are cathedrals everywhere. Nice.
Demi Moore like menaces her lesbianly. Like she has the gun to her head and is like licking her. And I'm like,
she gives her a little kiss. I've written down.
Give us see someone develop a kink in real time.
But she doesn't give her a kiss. She licks the side of her face. She's probably like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't make that noise. That'd be very unsexy.
Is it?
I think so. I think it's generally frowned upon if you go like.
Is it homophobic that the villain is menacing her lesbianly?
I don't know. What I will say is that Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz is in the perfect Peter Griffin death pose. Like her arm is even behind her and everything. It's spot on. And my second note here is after that little lick, there's a little string of spit linking Demi Moore's mouth with Cameron Diaz's cheek. Neutral statement, just an observation of fact. It's something I happened to notice during the course of watching the movie.
So
I don't have the room to be turned on.
You think I do?
I think it would go poorly for all three of us. The thing is, right? Because she has shown like lesbian sexuality, she must be punished by death.
This is a really funny moment where Demi Moore goes, "We're not so different," and Cameron Diaz says, "I have something you'll never have," and she's like, "What's that?" And then Cameron Diaz just goes, "I have friends."
Brutal. Yeah, and then she kicks her into a flame pit.
Three of them turn out, they fight her, and then like they kick Demi Moore through the stage. She falls through a gas pipe, so gas is being released, and then Demi Moore like shoots up at them with her gun, which ignites the gas and blows up.
She goes up very similarly to Richard III, played by Ian McKellen in the movie. So we go back to the movie premiere where Mrs. Bosley, Bernie Mac's mum, is about to adopt Shia LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. And so therefore Charlie's Angels 3 must have Shia as Bosley because she's the kind of like Bosley generator.
Oh.
The Bosley progenitor.
The Bosley queen.
Yeah, exactly.
they just do the like Indiana Jones way and they just like imply that Shia LaBeouf died in Vietnam. Yeah. It's like, forget it, no, it's fine.
Yeah. But so then... the proposal finally happens. Luke Wilson.
Drew Barrymore is sad. She's like, oh, you know, Cameron Diaz is going to leave the Charlie's Angels because here Luke Wilson gets down on one knee.
And he opens a little like ring case, which contains, this is a trans feminine movie, giving your girlfriend a dog tag.
Like for a dog, like a dog one.
For a collar with a name on it that you picked out that is not hers. With no notice, no prior notice, I'm making direct eye contact with two members of the audience.
Like I'm avoiding eye contact with someone.
Yeah, because you have the room to,
At least they're sat near each other, because otherwise that'd be really difficult.
Yeah, a fist bump. Nice. I love polyamory. So...
Yeah. I really like monogamy. I feel like I should say that every so often.
Yeah.
No, like, it's cool for that, I'm afraid, Devin.
No, you're right to not woo it. You're right to not woo it. Shut up! Shut the fuck up! Shut up, all of you. You're right to not woo it. It's the normal. It's default.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. It's great.
Yeah, oh, so you think it's normal?
Yeah, I do. I believe the two of you are freaks. And am I wrong?
Careful, Whitey.
So, I guess I don't have to come back to that.
Do any of us?
No.
So the movie ends.
My notes say nobody's leaving the podcast. I mean, spy team.
Yeah. They're staying together because they're best friends forever.
We're best friends. Best I love friend. Our family. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm not this far out of an insult. It's because of the mic bleed.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to keep it.
Yeah. We will never be replaced on this stage. Be funny tomorrow night. Now, okay. we get a sort of exploitative car wash credit scene.
Yeah, what was that?
It's
oh, yeah.
just like softcore porn, basically. It's yeah. just like, oh, look, we're getting wet.
I guess they just filmed that and were like, fuck, how do we put that in the movie?
Yeah.
They must have filmed it for the montage at the start and then were like, oh, it's too good. We'll put it in the credits scene.
Yeah.
There's some outtakes. Melissa McCartney is here for some reason, mercifully, briefly.
Yeah.
And thank God.
And the thing is, right, this was the last of these two movies and I fully had Stockholm Syndrome, right? Because maybe box office, because this is a box office flop, maybe box office isn't a good way to decide what films get made. Maybe films should be about what I like and what I want to get made. And films should be about lesbianism, wire work, and friendship.
But you hated the My Little Pony
movie.
That
is exactly what I did. And we bring you a movie about friendship, and you're like, no, it's about 9/11 and the Iraq War. And I'm like, no, they're friends.
Did it have the wire work?
Not enough.
Essential three-legged stool.
No, in fact,
I have all three.
On many points, Fluttershy forgot that she could fly. Yeah.
Interesting. Why didn't they just ride the Eagles? Anyway, what does Charlie's Angels Full Throttle have to say about masculinity, femininity, friendship?
I feel like it's better than the first one.
I do too. It includes a like weirdly hardcore bit of like drama, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they've got one good scene, so that does make it better than the first one.
It's true.
Sort of, I guess, by default.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, finally someone's taking the Mongolians down a peg.
Yeah. I feel like, so the first one that had a largely like men are silly stance. This one has like a largely men are silly stance, but then also sometimes men are scary.
Men are silly and they'll kill you.
Yeah.
Which I believe is that sort of old feminist canard, you know?
Yeah, no, he fully does try to
sex you. Men are afraid that women will laugh at them. Women are afraid that men will make Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. Mm. But we don't have to speculate about these things because we have a science-based system.
Just two another night as a trans person in London.
We're going to make that joke every time.
Funnier.
It's
going to
land
every time.
You're here.
It is
you're
funny.
Here.
It's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed a bit before we came out, there was like a brief moment where something happened with the soundtrack and you all laughed. And we were like, we haven't even done anything yet.
Yeah. The thing is, right, this is doing comedy on like casual difficulty. We were very easy. So thank you so much for that. Mm. But it's called the SCUM system. It stands for SMARM, cultural insensitivity, unprovoked violence, and misogyny. How smarmy is this movie? Is it more or less than the last one? Is it the same? I think it might be less. I think it has moments of earnest. You know?
It does, and we take points off for sincerity.
We do, and it's got alarming amount of sincerity.
Yeah.
They don't really get a lot of like smug lines in. I think
it's very pleased with itself.
Yeah,
but I think the needle drops contribute to the smarm.
That's true, but...
Yeah, taking points off for sincerity, 4?
I'd go as low as 3.
Really? Dev?
That is scary to me. I think 3 is about right, to be honest with you.
Okay.
3?
Incredible. Cultural insensitivity.
All right, here we go.
Walks in the
Let
room.
Let me give you this
Point
list
one.
Again here. Antonioni family.
Yep.
In the process of...
I'm in the process of dealing with these Guido motherfuckers.
Yeah.
The Diablo cartel. Diablo.
Careful, Whitey!
No, wrong one.
Oh, si, senor.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The Tanaka Yakuza.
This was
careful, Whitey.
Uh-huh. I guess we've got the Japanese one from the first night.
I guess that's true. I guess I do.
They don't call me Balls Out Natalie for nothing.
Yep. And then we've got the O'Grady clan.
I don't have anything for that. I don't have a drop for...
Mongolia? All of
Mongolia.
It?
Yeah, walks in the movie, step one, fuck Mongolians.
Mongolia is essentially
elaborate.
Like Tortuga.
Day one, fuck Mongolia. Why the hell was that guy being held in Mongolia?
Oh, Mongolian ISIS was being controlled by
Demi
Moore.
Well, later
Demi
on they say Demi, like, who else would have connections in Mongolia? And I'm like, oh, of course, Demi Moore.
Ah, yes. Because she's
an her out
yeah,
there.
Only her astrological phenome would have connections in Mongolia.
Yeah, cultural insensitivity is going to be pretty fucking high.
Go ahead and
high.
Give it a 7, I reckon.
Yeah, 7. It contains,
yeah,
again,
yeah,
it contains blackface.
7.
So, 7. Unprovoked violence. I mean, they do kill Demi Moore at the end.
They do?
Again,
she had a gun.
Killing the villain of the movie is not unprovoked. They have
yeah,
to do it.
And
she's done all
the
of
time.
The things that have happened so far.
Mm. Yeah.
They
yeah.
also, at one point, like, she points the two guns at them on the rooftop. They take the guns off her, and instead of pointing them back at her, they do the Batman thing of disassembling them. Like,
yeah,
now
they
we will
field
martial
strip
fight.
It.
And I'm like, oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because if you weren't here the first night, that is because actually you say because I forgot.
Oh, because Drew Barrymore likes gun control because she's a lib, so she changed it so that they wouldn't
couple
use guns.
Couple of shy libs like wooing.
When, it's, I
wooing
think,
for
I think,
gun control.
I think gun control.
Don't
is
worry,
one of
we
the
can't get them.
It might
it's
be
fine.
Okay to be a lib.
They
about.
Are controlled.
Yeah,
we,
yeah
we
very
did
much
it.
So. I think again, the unprovoked violence is going to save it. I think it's going to be low,
upsetting,
like,
yeah,
dead low, like 2-1.
Is it more unprovoked violence than the previous one?
No, certainly not.
No,
because they explicitly reject deadly violence.
Well, one it is then.
One.
It's one again.
Incredible. Oh, no. And then a sort of difficult thing. To,
misogyny.
Yeah. How misogyny? Again, I'm just.
I hope the angels aren't being too rough on you.
Man, please, that day fat women.
9, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
you, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I mean, like, the credits scene, the exploitative titty
yes.
shots, there's a lot of bikini shots.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have as much slow-mo, which, you know, makes
doesn't,
it a bit
like,
less exploitative.
More
wire
fighting.
Yeah, it's still very, like, women can do anything as long as I can jack off to them.
Yeah, but on
which,
the other
like,
hand, it is also, like, and also men will try and kill you. Which
yeah,
the sort
yeah.
of alarmingly intense nature of that. I think.
Are we
going
to take off a point for saying it's okay, like presenting like male violence against women as bad? That feels like a pretty low bar.
Yeah. I feel like if you're putting male violence against women in a movie, you gotta hope they think it's bad.
I do think there's a thing of like depicting it as being horrific compared to like the first one or even Atomic Blonde, which had like worse levels of violence. It's a tonal thing of being like, you know, a man calls a woman a bitch, gets knocked unconscious, right? Mm-hmm. That's feminism, right? But like this is like grossly disproportionate and abusive and horrible and is kind of shot that way. And I think
I do want to
dock a point for that. I want to.
Yeah. Well, we gave it 9 last night.
So 8 then.
Oh no, I'm sorry. So I tell a lie. We gave it 5 last night.
Did we?
Yeah, I just checked.
So 4?
That's
4.
Right, it's about
4
one.
It is.
Shit. I mean, it's a science based system.
Be.
We can't argue.
No, that gives it a total score of
15.
Of 15, which is pretty fucking good. I mean, it's down there with the Men from U.N.C.L.E.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just about.
This is straightforward.
You know,
Leo.
That's like a Daniel Craig level of Bond.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
It's ahead of its time.
They're getting better.
It's 20 years ahead of its time.
Mm.
They're getting better. Thing she says before night 3. Charlie's Angels 2019. But we will see you tomorrow night for that. Tonight, we have completed the Charlie's Angels two-part saga.
Done.
We've done it. We've killed
fucking
them,
dealt
I
with.
Guess.
Yeah,
we've
killed
Charlie's
Lucy
Angels.
Lou.
Yeah.
We've killed
that's,
Charlie.
That's a good thing for us to do, probably, I guess.
We've killed Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite fit, but...
Yeah, and...
Don't try to make it fit either, because that's not...
honestly, I really enjoyed this one, but, like, not because it was good, and you shouldn't...
It's a joke for in your head, and leave it there.
you shouldn't watch it either. In the meantime, this is us wrapping up. We have merch for sale outside. We would be greatly obliged if you were to buy some.
We'll be happy to sign it.
Yeah, we'll be hanging out for a bit to sign stuff. And we have been Kill James Bond. You have been a wonderful audience. Good night.